Reading now from Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. The Word of God says, "And he said," that is Jesus said, "a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." A lot of beautiful truths that could be taught from that passage of Scripture. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is the contrast of the prodigal son when he first began to desire the inheritance, and then his attitude when he came back home. There's a major difference in how he felt before he went and wasted his father's goods and the way he felt when he came back home. I want you to go back and notice especially two words in verse 12. The Word of God says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me, give me. Father, give me.'" That's one attitude and one way that the Word of God describes the expression that the son gave was, "Father, give me." Come on down to verse 19. The Word of God says that the son said, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Do you hear the difference and the tremendous amount of difference there is when the son said, "Give me," versus what he said later after his conversion when he said, "Make me as one of thy hired servants"? I want us to think about, first of all, the two words, "give me." How many of you have ever heard children just over and over say, "Give me, give me, give me"? That's just the nature of man, is gimme, gimme, gimme. Gimme this, gimme that. I want this, and I want that. And I believe that as long as we just follow our flesh, that's going to be the attitude that we have, even as we go to God in prayer. There are so many people today that they are carnal-minded, and all they seem to do is just pray for God to give them great blessings, for God to give them a big home, a finer home, God to give them. I remember in Columbus, I had a couple in the church there that got off on a tangent, and they believed after a while some false doctrine that if you ask God for anything, He'll give it to you. You just have to believe and you'll get it. And they put a picture. He had a picture on his refrigerator one day when I went there. It was a picture of a lot of white-faced cattle. He wanted to have a big cattle farm. And then his wife had a big picture of a woman with a mink coat on. And I said, what's the meaning of these pictures you have on your refrigerator? And the man told me that they were, every day they were concentrating on believing that God was going to give them the desires of their heart. And they were asking God every day. He wanted the cattle farm and she wanted the mink coat. And so every day that was the focus of their prayers was, give me these cows. Sometimes there are probably a few that understand that. We have two or three cattle men in the congregation this morning. And they can understand how somebody might want to say, give me these cows, or give me cows. And you might think about these two men and say, well, you know, that ought not to be the focus of their prayer life. And yet I would venture to say that there are times in each of our lives that that has been the focus of our praying, not necessarily give me cows, but we have had other material things in our heart or in our mind, and we were praying sometimes for God to give us something in a material way. How many of you would admit that there are times that that is the focus of your praying sometimes? That sometimes that what we're doing is asking for God, we're being carnal-minded, we're being materialistic, and doesn't mean that we believe like those other people that I mentioned, and they were finally converted, but it doesn't mean that we're like them, that that's all we pray for, or that we are only concerned about that, but that can so easily become the desire of our hearts, is give me, give me, give me. I think that some people think of God as like a little old man that just standing there wanting to give out natural blessings all the time. And I do believe with all of my heart God does give us natural blessings. I believe that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Every blessing that we have is a gift from God. And we need to thank God for those blessings, but we ought not to be centering our prayer life, or our hearts ought not to be focusing on the material things of this world. We ought not to be just crying out, give me, give me, give me. But that was the attitude of this son when he said, give me. Give me, he said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. His father gave it to him. And sometimes God gives us the things that we want. But God doesn't always do that. Sometimes God withholds things from us, and many times when God does not give us the things that we're asking for, there are many times that it is for our good that He does not give us the desires of our heart. God is all wise, and every time that you pray, you always need to pray, not our will, but thine be done. So the man here, the prodigal son, he began by praying, give me. Give me. You know, that carnal-mindedness, that same kind of attitude of being self-centered has ruined many children of God. Can you think of one of the apostles that had this same kind of attitude of give me? There was one of the apostles that was his thought, that was his desire, was give me. You remember one of the apostles whose life was ruined because he had that give me attitude, that self-centered attitude. Who is one of the apostles whose life was ruined because he had that give me attitude? Judas Iscariot. Back up in your Bibles just a moment. Look at Matthew chapter 26. The destruction of Judas Iscariot's life, his ruin, came as a result of his carnal-mindedness, his covetousness, and his greed. There's nothing different from this prodigal son. In essence, there is no difference in the prodigal son and Judas Iscariot. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 14, we'll read here what the Word of God tells us about what led to the fall and destruction of Judas Iscariot. The Scripture says in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 14, The Word of God says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him or to betray Jesus. Do you see that Judas Iscariot had the same kind of attitude that the prodigal son did when he said, give me. And Judas Iscariot now is crying out, what will you give me? And his greed and covetousness led to great sorrow in his life. And he repented with bitter tears. Judas Iscariot was cast away from fellowship with God because of his attitude of give me. And I believe also that many children of God, they lose fellowship with God because of their covetousness and greed and desire of material things. And everything is focusing around the individual child of God, them wanting something, and their prayers begin to be, give me, give me. There's another example of a woman who hated John the Baptist. She hated John the Baptist because John the Baptist had gone to Herod and told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And so she, in her greed, she didn't pray to God for this, but she got her daughter, who must have been very beautiful, to go and dance before Herod. And Herod told Herodias' daughter, I'll give you anything that you want. And so she went to her mother and asked her mother, what was it that she would like to have? And do you remember what she asked for? She said, give me the head of John the Baptist. Do you see that give me attitude? Sometimes the give me attitude is a result of greed and covetousness, but sometimes we want revenge. Sometimes we are angry at people and we want God, in essence, to give us their head on a platter. We might not necessarily say those words, but we sometimes are so angry. Have you ever been angry at someone? You might not have been as angry as Herodias was at John the Baptist, but there are times that we are angry, and in our deepest of hearts, we're wanting God to give us their head. We want God to carry out vengeance in their lives. We want God to bring His judgment in their lives. And that attitude of give me their head on a platter, that's an ungodly attitude. And it will lead to our destruction just as quickly as the attitude of the prodigal son or Judas Iscariot when we're wanting to destroy someone else's life, when we want to hurt someone else, when we want to say, give me their head on a platter, it'll lead to our destruction. So the first thing I want us to think about this morning is that the prodigal son said, give me, give me. And we need to be careful about saying, give me. We need to be careful about being self-centered and greedy and covetous. We need to be careful about hatred and anger. We need to be careful about the things that we ask for. Now, is it wrong to ever say to God, give me anything? Are there things that God's Word tells us and teaches us that we are to go to God for and ask God for those things? Indeed, there are. James chapter 4 tells us, ye receive not because ye ask not. So there are times that we don't ask God for things that we ought to be asking God for. For example, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Should you ask God for wisdom? Do you need wisdom? There's not a person in this building that doesn't need wisdom from God. And we need to be saying, not give me riches, not give me money, not give me someone's head, but we need to be praying, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I need wisdom. I don't need worldly wisdom, but I need wisdom that can come only from God. You need to be praying not only for God to give you wisdom, but you need to be praying for God to give your children wisdom. There are many in the congregation this morning that your children are growing up, and they can take the wrong path, and they can destroy their lives. And so you not only need wisdom to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but you need to be praying for your children that God would give them wisdom to make wise choices in their lives. God, give me wisdom. You remember Solomon. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. God came to Solomon. He has just become the king. His daddy, David, has died. God comes to Solomon and asks him, what does he want? Now, can you imagine God coming to you and just saying, what do you want? What would you like for me to give you? God knew the nature of man. God knew what Solomon or any other man would ask for if he didn't have wisdom. And I want you to think about how wonderful it is, the response that Solomon gave to God when God asked him, what do you want me to give you? In 1 Kings chapter 3, here was Solomon's response. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, Solomon says, give therefore thy servant. Who is the thy servant? Himself. Is he saying, give me? Yes, he's saying, give me. He's saying, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Do you need, I'm going to ask you, do you need an understanding heart? Do you need wisdom to be able to discern between good and evil? Did you know, brethren, that any child of God can be deceived into thinking that good is evil and that evil is good, and it will destroy your life? And therefore, as the children of God, we need to be praying like Solomon did, give me an understanding heart to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Verse 10 says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Had Solomon asked something from God? Is what Solomon asked for very different than what the prodigal son asked for? Is what Solomon asked for very different than what Judas Iscariot asked for? Is it very different than what Herodias' daughter and Herodias asked for? Very different, completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And so it is that Solomon said, give me an understanding heart to judge between good and bad, good and evil, so that I might be able to judge this so great a people. In verse 11, the Word of God says, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself. He's going to name three things that he did not ask for. And I'm going to tell you this, brethren. I believe with all of my heart that the three things God mentions would be the three things that most every human being would ask for. If God were to come to you, if you didn't have wisdom, you'll ask for one of these three things right here. He says, because you have not asked for thyself long life. Don't most of us want to live a long time? You might not think you want to, but you get sick. You know what you're going to start asking for? You're going to be praying, Lord, help me. Send me to the right doctor. Help me, Lord. You can talk all you want to about I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. You get sick, you're probably, in all probability, 99.9% of you are going to say, if not 100%, are going to say, Lord, spare my life a little longer. Spare my life a little longer. We want to live. So God came to Solomon and said, what do you want? And he didn't ask for long life. That pleased the Lord. He said, thou hast not asked for long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself. What did the prodigal son ask for? He asked for riches. For who? For himself. Thou hast not asked for long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies. You remember? I didn't see this till just this minute, how all this fit together. And do you follow this? What did Herodias ask for? The life of her enemies. Give me his head! Put it in a basket! You haven't asked for the life of your enemies. But thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Verse 12, he says, Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. Isn't that a marvelous thing? All he asked for was wisdom and understanding, an understanding heart. God gave him, he said, because you haven't asked for riches, you've asked for wisdom and understanding heart. I'm going to give you both riches and honor so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now listen to verse 14 because it's important. Verse 14 says, And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. What was the problem? What messed him up? He stopped following God's word. He stopped following God's way. And his life and his kingdom were taken from him. But I don't want to concentrate on that. I want to concentrate on the good thing he asked for. He said, Give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. I encourage everybody here to pray for God to give you wisdom. Give you an understanding heart. Help you to be able to discern between good and evil. Actually, you and I have a much larger advantage over Solomon because God has given us His holy word. And listen carefully, brethren. If we're not going to follow His word, you might as well not ask for anything else. Because you're headed down a path to destruction when you turn your back on God's Word. God's not going to change what He's written down. It's written down in black and white. It's there for us to follow. If we follow it, He'll bless us. If we don't, we'll be cursed. God will curse His people when they turn from His holy Word. So Solomon said, Give me an understanding heart. Can you think of something else, just in closing, can you think of something else that God has taught us? Can you think of something else that we should say, give me, give me? What's something else that we should ask God for besides an understanding heart? Give me what? Yes, yes, all right. In the example prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, the Word of God says that Jesus taught us to pray. If the word give me is not there, it's give us. I'm so thankful that we can pray our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He taught us how to pray. One of the things he says that we're to pray for is give us this day our daily bread. Give us. Is that pleasing? Does it please God for you to ask God to give you your daily bread? We need to do that. I don't care how much food you have in your freezer or in the pantry, you need every day to say, Lord, please give me this day our daily bread. You remember there was a woman that met Jesus, or Jesus met her at the well, and you remember how he talked to her about, he said to her, give me water, and she gave him water, and then he told her, if you had known who I am, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. You remember? And you know what she did? She said, give me this water. Do you want this water? You want the living water? Well, you need to say, Lord, it's all right now. It's okay. It's not wrong to say, give me. It's wrong to say, give me when you're greedy and covetous and you're full of hatred. It's wrong to say, give me riches just so you can be rich. It's wrong to desire the head of someone. But brethren, we're supposed to ask for an understanding, a heart wisdom. We're supposed to ask for our daily bread, and we're supposed to ask God, give us this living water. Now I want us to go back to Luke 15, because isn't it amazing that you can read something? I've probably preached from the prodigal son, I don't know, I'm going to guess 15 or 20 times, different lessons from the prodigal son, but I've never seen this to this week. I've never seen that he first said, give me money. And then when he was coming back home, he said, make me. He was saying to the Father, make me as one of thy hired servants. And I believe, brethren, that when our hearts are right, that all we want to do is just say, Father, I know I'm not worthy to be a part of your church. I know I'm not worthy to be a part of your kingdom. I know I'm not worthy to be in the eternal heaven except for the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to be a hired servant. Make me, Lord. Mold me so that I can be a hired servant in your house. Make me want to be a hired servant. Make me desire above everything else in this earth. Make me desire to be a hired servant. God is the potter. We're the clay. Can he make you a hired servant? Can he make you a hired servant that really wants God to make you? Mold me. Make me. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Make me as one of your hired servants. Now, if you take your Bible and you go home and study, take your concordance, you'll find there are a lot of other things that the Bible says that God's people have from time to time said, make me, make me. Because there are a lot of things that you ought to want God to make you. What does every mother here want God to make you? What does every mother here want God to make you? A good mother. What does every daddy here want God to make you? A good daddy, a good father. What does every church member here want God to make you? Make me a good church. Make me a Christian. Do whatever's necessary. If it takes a fire to melt me down and remake me, send the fire. Send the fire. Jesus can make us good Christians. But we have to reach that attitude that we, instead of saying, give me, that we can honestly, truthfully, prayerfully say, make me. Make me. I hope God will help us all, brethren, too. Let me give you one verse in closing. Look at Psalm 119, verse 35 is one of the verses. One of the things that I believe Job said was, make me to know mine end. Make me to know my end. I need to know my life's going to end. Your life's going to end. Make me to know my end. Psalm 119, verse 35, the Word of God says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. May God help us truly, honestly, from the heart, feel and desire for God to make us that would be pleasing to Him, is my prayer for Christ's sake.